time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Is going to join Baylor and Gonzaga as the top seeds, and an exclamation point from Juwan Roberts. Another miss, another rebound for Houston, and the party's going to start.
Whoop, whoop! All aboard the Cougs bandwagon here. What's up, everybody? It's Vanessa and Gallant on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. No Vanessa. She's off in Chicago this weekend, but we got plenty to talk about today because our beloved Cougs took down the Arizona Wildcats 72-60 last night in yet another just incredibly impressive performance by Kelvin Sampson and those Cougs. Really, that was an impressive one. That is a good Arizona team. And again, the Cougs are down their two best players. And I'm on the bandwagon. Look, I don't want to be one of those people who is annoying to all of y'all real Cougs. I'm not a real one. But I do feel like, as someone who covers sports, that since I'm also a fan, if I really like a team, that is as strong of an endorsement that I can give. I really like the Astros. There's a reason I quit on the Boston Red Sox. Part of it had to do with the fact that the Boston Red Sox are doing some shady things in terms of the way that they treat people that they felt like weren't doing things good enough for them. But for the most part, it was because I watched the Astros firsthand grow from being that bad team to, from 2015 on, be the team that they have been. Just an incredibly fun perennial contender that you always expect to be there at the very end. And over the last 2 years, and honestly, just over the entirety of the Kelvin Sampson era right here in Houston, the Cougs have become that as well. And everybody should be getting on the bandwagon. If you are a Coug, you should allow everybody on the bandwagon. Nothing wrong with that. It was really fun watching last night's game. You had Kelvin Sampson at one point. I remember you could see it off to the side because there were so many Cougs fans in San Antonio where he's revving up the crowd. I mean, I wish he had taken his shirt off, going to raise up, twist it around your head like a helicopter. That would have been cool like he did in the locker room. But obviously you can't do that. I think Jamal Shed was drinking Fireball or Mad Dog 2020 or something like that, like because he was having cramps at some point. You know, I mean, these guys are just gritty. They're just gritty folks. Who hasn't drank a Mad Dog 2020 while playing a game of basketball, huh? Who hasn't? But these guys won, of course, by playing defense. This is what you expect out of them every single game. But this was also a game where they hit their shots. Kyler Edwards, bro, well done. Oh, a smattering of golf claps here. 5 of 9 from outside as the Cougs, who are 116th on the year in terms of three-point shooting, they were 9 of 20 from outside. And we'll have some Kyler Edwards highlights that we'll play throughout the course of the show. But this team, they continue to do things that you don't really expect them to do. Again, they're down their two best players. They lost pretty much their entire team from the Final Four run last year. And yet, here they are. And it's because of Kelvin Sampson. And you got to love Kelvin Sampson talking about wins in a way where he's like, yeah, you know, it ain't pretty. We're gritty. We're tough. These things ain't beauty contests. Here's Kelvin Sampson after the Cougs win last night.
You know, victories don't come with asterisks. You know, it's not a beauty contest. You know, I watched Arizona play. I watched them play UCLA. I watched them play Colorado. I watched the way those teams guarded them, and I knew we weren't going to guard them like those teams did. Those teams just switched them. They let them be comfortable. I knew we were going to make them uncomfortable.
That's what they do. They make people uncomfortable, and this is why I like them so much. And I never jumped on the James Harden-era Rockets. I never did. I didn't like the way James Harden played basketball. I don't like guys who embellish to draw fouls. I don't like guys who don't play defense. I don't like guys who think that they're great three-point shooters when all time they're something like 254th in terms of career three-point percentage shooting. That's not for me. What I like are little hardo pests like Patrick Beverley. What I like are exactly the way that the Cougs play basketball. Making people uncomfortable. It's funny. This is not something that is across basketball.
And you would think that this is the easiest thing to instill in your team, right? Obviously, the Cougars have some good athletes, strong, big guys. But do you want, don't you as a fan want a team that is going to try to emasculate the opposition? Am I wrong in wanting that? Am I wrong in being some sort of a meathead, fake blue collar who's like really a cake eater guy who likes to watch a team like this? I feel like this entire city should be able to get behind them. If you haven't already, I mean, good God, like, what are you waiting for? You know, maybe you have a friend who's a little bit of an annoying Cougs fan or something like that who has been rubbing it in your face. Say you went to UT, say you went to A&M, or you root for one of those two schools. And I don't blame them. The Cougs should be able to do that in this situation. I mean, they have the superior basketball program to both of y'all. I know A&M's in the, what, NIT Final Four or something like that. I don't know if they've played another game. I don't really care. But whatever the case, like, I get why you might be a little bit resistant, but Jesus, jump on. This team is amazing. They're fun. They play tough. They play physical basketball, and there needs to be more tough physical basketball out there. Coming from the guy who is the annoying 5'11", 180-pound guy who plays way too hard on defense because he has no offensive game whatsoever when he's playing in pickup games at the Y. Or check that, at LA Fitness. Although I might not be playing anytime soon because I've got the plantar fascia. I can barely walk. I feel very old. Old these days. So look, I am firmly on the bandwagon, and I don't think anyone should have a problem with others jumping on the bandwagon right now. Look, who knows what happens with the Astros this season, but the Texans suck. The Rockets are also not good. So it's going to be a long time as far as other sports for us to enjoy. You may as well enjoy this team. This is so you have Astros baseball from April through what? October? And you have Cougs basketball from November through this time of year, through March. That's it. This is how we enjoy sports for the entirety of a year. We are all on the Cougs bandwagon right now. Maybe I need to, you know, do some sort of holy ritual to get aboard. Maybe, I don't know how y'all feel about this. I know that a lot of you probably are going to tune out in droves, but maybe, just maybe. How about I sing the Cougs fight song? Huh? Is that a good way to swear my allegiance? Noah Fouts behind the glass. Like, what do you think on this? Oh, he's just playing it. All right. Let's see. Where are the lyrics? Sorry to dance, everybody. Cougars fight for dear U of H, for alma mater cheer. Fight for Houston University, for victory is near. When the going gets so rough and tough, we never worry, because we got the stuff. Wait, that's a lame lyric. So fight for red and white, and we will go to victory. Huh? Was that not bad? I gotta say, though, I mean, that's a lame lyric in the middle of that. Noah Fouts, how would you grade that?
Is that your first time hearing the fight song?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I would say that was, you know, pretty good for the first time
hearing
it.
Thank you. Thank you. You have just enabled me to sing throughout the program. You do not know what you have unlocked.
I didn't say that.
713-780-3776, 713-780 ESPN. We're going to celebrate the Cougs in a way all morning. We won't be talking about them every single segment, but we're very pumped that they're on to the Elite Eight. They take on the Villanova Wildcats. We'll see that game tomorrow. Very pumped for our guy Jeremy Branham on the Killer Bees that he might be able to go to yet another Final Four. Other things did happen in college basketball yesterday. Listen, I love Texas Tech people, and I'm really bummed out that Texas Tech lost to Duke. That was a tough game. It was a close game. But am I a bad person for rooting very hard against Coach K? Coach Krzyzewski, who I have to, like, write it out and sound it out to say his name the right way? Krzyzewski?
I don't know if it's more so rooting for or against Duke as it is, like, rooting for Tech. I feel like everyone's on, like, kind of the U of H bandwagon with Tech, like, all their players left because Beard left, and
yeah,
they're all transfers, and their head coach has done a great job. I would say him and Kelvin Sampson, top two coaches for me.
In the state, damn right, Noah Fouts behind the glass. They've done a hell of a job this year. And look, here's my other thing, too. There are two people that I just love so much in this state. And obviously, look, I know there's UT fans out there, there's A&M fans out there, there's LSU fans out there. I mean, that's generally, you're going to run into a lot of those people if you're running around Houston, especially if you're going through the bar scene and stuff. But I got to say, Texas Tech people and Texas State people are the most fun. It's not close. Texas State people scare me, but Texas Tech people, guns up, are the most fun. So it sucked to see them lose to Duke. If you root for Duke, you have a problem. You do. We all know this, unless you're doing it ironically, but like this past year with Coach K, how sanctimonious he always is, how condescending he always is, and then all these things he's saying, like, well, I don't, man, you know, my players are distracted by all this. Oh, you think? You made this all about yourself. It's not about you. It's about the players. We also saw another one seed go down yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. I want to get your thoughts on this. What perennial contenders do you always expect to blow it in the end? Because Gonzaga is gone. Am I right? People were getting mad at me online last night because I was making jokes. I'm Catholic, but I was making Catholic jokes. I was like, oh, Gonzaga's got to be the worst Catholic superpower since the Spanish Armada of 1588. And some person was like, unfollowed. And I was like, actually, you excommunicated me. Get it? Catholic joke? Anyone? Bueller. They lost because there were some suspect fouls against Chet Holmgren, but that, to me, was not surprising at all. And as someone who was living up in Washington not too long ago, I feel bad for all the Zags fans out there. But you expect this every year. They've been a one seed five times. They've never won the title. And I don't know what you blame it on. Is it being on the West Coast Conference or something like that? But that was a bit disappointing to see them go down. Yet at the same time, it's always fun to cackle and point at the teams that are really, really good that don't actually get it done. So what are the teams that you can think of off the top of your head? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, that are consistently good, and yet you always expect them to blow it. Up next, we are less than 2 hours away from what might be the most awkward sports moment of 2022. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It always does, David, and especially the Big East tournament. We always talk about the fact you're playing Madison Square Garden. The environment is incredible. The teams are tough and physical, like this team tonight, this Michigan team.
Ooh, I'm Jay Wright. I'm from the Big East. Oh, I coach Villanova. Oh, we're always really good.
It's funny now living in Houston, being far away from the Big East, which is where my alma mater, Syracuse, played in, and realizing just how douchey people that our Big East fans are.
Yeah, we're tough. We're from the Northeast.
Philadelphians in particular, too, which is where Villanova is located. And that's who the Cougs are going to end up playing tomorrow. Villanova is this cake-eater Catholic school that's not even in actual Philadelphia. But a lot of Philadelphians claim Villanova now that Villanova is the consistently best team of the five schools in Philly. I know this as somebody who has family from Philly. Philly people, as sports fans, no offense, they're the absolute bleeping worst. I think I heard one call into the bench this morning who said, like, when you go up against Nova, it's over. My experience with Philly fans are, one time at Syracuse, there was a Penn State-Syracuse game. And yes, I will lump Penn State fans in with the Villanova fans. We were walking down the street. One of my friends apparently was making out with somebody that another fellow who was wearing a Penn State jersey had been making out with. And he said, slow up your seconds. We said, no one cares. And then he pulled out a switchblade and said, I'm from Philly. That is Philadelphia in a nutshell. Penn State, Villanova, doesn't matter. That is all Philadelphia. But Paul, half your family's from Philadelphia. Yes, I know. My mom's going to get mad at me now. I'm Paul Gallant, Vanessa Richardson in Chicago this weekend. Hope she has a good weekend. She'll be back on Monday. It's Vanessa and Gallant right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At noon today, Deshaun Watson will face the proverbial music in that he will have a press conference to be introduced as the new starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Not sure who's all going to be in attendance. Could be just Andrew Berry, the GM, Deshaun Watson, and Kevin Stefanski. I would hope that Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, would be there. I would hope that Rusty Hardin, the lawyer for Deshaun Watson, is not there. I know John and Lance were joking about this morning, about how it would seem maybe like it's some sort of a hearing in front of a Senate if you have Rusty Hardin there basically telling what Deshaun can and can't say. And honestly, we probably should expect Deshaun to just not answer any of the questions that are thrown his way. Because, I mean, any question that has to do with this now civil lawsuits, these series of civil lawsuits, these 22 civil lawsuits against him, I guess they could theoretically incriminate him. But at the same time, I do want to see him feel uncomfortable. And I'm wondering what the local media of Cleveland is going to do. I'm wondering what the national media is going to do there as well. Will someone in Cleveland's PR tell the folks that are there in attendance all of a sudden that they have to stop? that they can't ask these questions anymore, that we're only taking football questions. And there will be some local Cleveland reporters who will shift immediately into football because they got bills to pay, and they're going to talk about essentially what Watson can do for the Browns in their article. But the big story is no doubt that the Browns traded for this guy when he is still the subject of several civil investigations. And I hope that it's uncomfortable. There's a part of me that thinks that just because of the way that Deshaun Watson handled, first off, this lack of charges that were pressed against him in the first grand jury, and of course yesterday, we'll get to it in a moment, another grand jury did not put any charges up against him. But given how the word that I would use was not arrogant, but adamant afterwards when he said, like, essentially some quote about the truth. I don't know if it was a rap lyric or something like that. And David Muligeta saying, keep that same energy. Those two, after it was found that he wasn't going to face any criminal charges, were basically doing as close to a touchdown dance as you'll see. But when you saw Deshaun Watson going to Texans practice, where he wasn't going to actually go on the field, and having a camera in his face, and him getting annoyed with that moment, how is he going to handle a 45-minute press conference where even if he doesn't want to answer questions, people will continue to ask the questions? Because those folks in the media who go to these press conferences, some of them get a kick out of being the tough guy, asking the tough questions. They feel like it makes them have some sort of a status. How many times have you watched, for any president, a back and forth between a press secretary and some reporter from some outlet, whether it leans left or right, and it gets confrontational? Like, those people get their rocks off on it. They're like, yeah, see what I did? Yeah, I kicked his ass by asking questions. I'm curious as to how this one's going to go. So that is at noon, and I hope it is as uncomfortable as possible. The Falcons, by the way, they don't want you to judge them for doing their diligence on Deshaun Watson. These quotes, I got a kick out of them. This one from Arthur Smith, head coach of the Falcons. We're not going to get into, you know, our process. We understood the seriousness. Like, that's all they said when they were asked about their interest in Watson. Even better, Terry Fadenaught, the general manager of the Falcons, based on the information we had, we wanted to explore. That's all they said. He didn't even say Watson's name in that answer. They feel so uncomfortable because now they're stuck with Marcus Mariota, and they tried to, you know, swing for the fences and get Deshaun Watson, and instead they traded away probably the best player in their franchise's history in Matt Ryan. So that was awkward for them, but they were keeping it close to the vest, short, curt, etc. What are the Browns going to do? Because the Browns, I mean, look, they pulled the trigger when Watson wasn't even technically out of the woods. We saw yesterday a second grand jury in Texas declined to indict Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson after considering an accusation of sexual misconduct. This is from Brazoria County. This is really funny to me. Brazoria County District Attorney Tom Selleck, not Magnum PI, but Brazoria County District Attorney Tom Selleck. I wonder if he was named after Tom Selleck, Magnum PI. I'm assuming that he's of the age where that is certainly possible. After a careful and thorough review of the facts and evidence documented in the reports provided by the Brazoria County Sheriff's Office and the Houston Police Department, as well as hearing testimony from witnesses, the grand jury for Brazoria County has declined to charge Deshaun Watson with any crimes. Accordingly, this matter is closed. The Browns knew about this in advance. They had been aware about the second grand jury. It makes me wonder why they pulled the trigger as quickly as they did if they knew that this was potentially going to happen. I imagine all of these teams knew, but again, you know, morality, not a thing that happens in the NFL. Not at all. But, you know, in this situation, a lot of people have been doing a little bit of that. Whoa, what were the Texans thinking trading Deshaun Watson? Clearly he's in the clear. Clearly he's innocent. I saw Larry and Stafford doing this, and that annoyed the hell out of me yesterday. Well, look, there's no evidence that's admissible in court when it comes to things that go on at a massage parlor or whatever you want to call it. You know, you're not allowed to record a person being massaged. You're not. So there was no evidence that could be presented, and you have to prove someone is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt to actually have charges stick. And I don't know what charges they could have levied in Brazoria County, especially compared to Harris County, that would have actually stuck in this situation, you know? I don't think they have the resources, especially when you're fighting against Rusty Harden. But you gotta love Rusty Harden, who is just using this as another way to essentially do the same thing as Deshaun Watson and David Mulligata. Do a touchdown dance. We are thrilled that the Brazoria County Grand Jury cleared Deshaun Watson of the one remaining criminal allegation. We've known all along what people who learn the facts also know. Deshaun committed no crimes. In fact, two separate grand juries have now found that there wasn't even probable cause to believe he committed a crime. No, Rusty, there wasn't enough evidence. There's 22 civil cases that are still ongoing. It's important to note that both we and the Cleveland Browns knew this grand jury presentation was pending and attempted not to discuss it publicly until it was completed. Now that the criminal investigations and two different grand jury presentations have been completed, continued Rusty Harden, I hope the public and the media will take to heart the closing statement from the Brazoria County District Attorney's letter stating, accordingly, this matter is closed. Oh, bleep off, Rusty. Get out of here with that crap. That is a load of nonsense. It's closed? I guess it was closed for O.J. Simpson when he was found not guilty, but he was in civil court afterwards, and pretty much everyone believes he did it. Yes, for something like this, you send someone to jail, they have to be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You don't want to have a messed up, wrong sentencing or something like that. But in this situation, can we please stop with the touchdown dances and instead just give us the most awkward press conference of all time? I cannot wait. And it's coming. Noon, the Cleveland Browns are going to face the proverbial music, which is just going to be essentially a bunch of hard-o reporters. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. I did see somebody call in and wanted to talk about bandwagons, and I'm sorry, I was too busy in the zone talking about Deshaun Watson here, and I know a lot of people are probably tired of hearing about Deshaun Watson. We're getting close to the end. Don't worry on that front. But 713-780-ESPN, am I allowed on the Cougs bandwagon? Are others allowed on the Cougs bandwagon? That's one question on the table. And the other one that I have, okay, two teams in two different sports lost yesterday, and these two teams have a track record of, despite being some of the biggest, I guess, superpowers in their respective sports in literally the world, they regularly blow it. It has me thinking, what teams that are consistently contenders do you expect to blow it when it matters most year in, year out? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa, just me right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Here's Edwards. He pulls it off. Terry! Oh, he was feeling it!
Tough.
Kyler Edwards, it's another three.
Kyler Edwards was an absolute beast last night. 5 of 9 from outside. And the Cougs, they're not a great three-point shooting team. I think they're 116th in the country this year when it comes to three-point shooting. But last night, they hit their shots. It wasn't just the great defense that they played. They were 9 for 20 from outside. And congratulations to the Cougs. So they're now on to the Elite Eight. They're going to play Villanova tomorrow. We're very pumped about that. If you have any trash talk that you want to send against some Philadelphians, absolutely. Have at it. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. And also, on top of that, am I allowed to join the Cougs bandwagon? If you are not a Coug, are you allowed to join the bandwagon? I think you should allow everybody on the bandwagon. You know what? You can kick them off at the very end of it, but I am 100% firmly on the bandwagon because I like this team. I support them. I feel like my endorsement of them is akin to a political endorsement because I'm a picky, picky little panda. Okay. Also, a couple of texts from the last segment. Wanted to touch on them really quick. Again, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. And this text comes from the old 832 and has to do with Deshaun Watson. So if there's no evidence either way, what are we talking about? Doesn't it go both ways? Well, there's evidence. There's evidence of texts. There's evidence of people saying that they are uncomfortable. And there's also just 22 different people that are saying things. And I'm assuming that there are more that potentially would say things. The evidence, though, this is not like, hey, if I show a text message in court, it's going to, you know, be able to prove what happened. That's the problem. You know, all you have is he said, she said. I just think that when there's 22 people saying one thing and then it's Deshaun Watson being defensive and saying the other, it's hard to believe that there's not some truth, more so to the 22 people as opposed to the one. This was like one, two, three. Okay, maybe that argument holds. We're talking about 22 different civil suits here. You know, that's a lot. You're telling me they're all lying? Maybe some are. All of them? No. I just can't buy that. Okay. So yesterday, we saw a couple of teams blow it. First off, we of course saw the Italians blow it. It's funny to watch the Italians lose. Am I wrong for feeling that way? I hate the way that they play soccer. And I know they won the European Championship this past summer, but they failed to qualify for a second straight World Cup because they lost 1-0 to a directional Macedonia. I don't know if there's multiple Macedonias, but North Macedonia, as opposed to East or West or Southeastern Macedonia, they took down Italy 1-0. They scored a goal in the 90th minute, and Italy should have won. They had 32 shots on goal, and Macedonia had 5. That's it. And they lost. Oh, it's hilarious. And, you know, I think it's funny to watch teams that regularly you expect to be good blow it. Then, of course, last night, and no, sorry to put you on the spot here, but if we could get cut number 11 ready to go so we can get a little bit of Jim Nantz schmaltz to throw on top of the Zags blowing it once again. But we have Gonzaga, who has made 5 NCAA tournaments as a one seed, 2022, 2021, 2019, 2017, 2013, and they have not won the title once. Only one other team is like that. Can you guess who they are? They are close to us. Oklahoma. Oklahoma is the only other school in the NCAA that has been a one seed 5 times and has not won a national title. The Zags, I know, there were some calls, blah, 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 blah. They still lost, and you expected them to lose. Here is the final call with a little schmaltz from Jim Nantz.
When it happens,
down they go to Tony. Going to end it with a dunk. Well, Fayetteville is 1,843 miles away, but the call of the Hogs can be heard all the way to San Francisco.
The call of the Hog? What the hell is that, Jim? What is the call of the Hog? Right? I mean, I don't think that hogs are making husky or mammalute noises. Oh, no, they're. Congratulations to all the Razorback fans out there, by the way, because I know we do have some in the Houston area. So shout out to y'all for taking down the Zags, who are, again, the worst Catholic superpower since the 1588 Spanish Armada. Yes, I'm a nerd. Whatever, it's fine. So you saw the Zags lose. And I don't want to get into a Rockets conversation. Like, I saw a Reddit thread open up. This was very funny. Chet Holmgren, who fouled out of that game and the fifth foul was kind of dubious. Even Gene Steratore, the TV guy, said they probably shouldn't have called it. I don't want to talk about how the Rockets should draft him. So there's a Rockets thread up last night where how Chet Holmgren, since he's used to getting terrible fouls called against him, that the Rockets should draft him. And I was like, wait a second. This has to be parody. This has to be sarcasm. This has to be, or maybe this is somebody from the War L Army. All these Rockets fans who think that the world is out to get them. The Ben DuBoses of the world. Love you, Ben, but Jesus. Anyway, I want to move back into talking about the teams that we expect to lose, even though they are regular league contenders. Because there's lots of them out there, and the Zags are one of them. The Italians are another in soccer. Not the Italians in life. Although I suppose, you know, World War II, didn't get so hot for them. But what teams, 713-780-3776, that are contenders? Cowboys don't count. Texans don't count. We're talking about real contenders year in, year out. Do you expect to blow it in the playoffs? Because I got a list for you. First off, the Green Bay Packers. Did anyone think that they were going to make it out of the playoffs this past year? I know I did not. In fact, that game against San Francisco, I thought they would lose. Mainly because I think San Francisco is a tougher football team than them. But Green Bay, ever since they won that Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, you've seen them get the one seed a lot. I think the very next year they were 15-1. They lost to the Giants like 38-20 at home. The Packers are definitely up there. Until last year, because these two teams I think are about to fade into borderline irrelevance, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks. Like the Seahawks, ever since they lost on the 1-yard line of the Super Bowl, they get to the playoffs and you're like, okay, maybe they get to the second round, but they're not going to play well. And the Steelers too. I remember every single time that the Steelers would go up against the New England Patriots in the playoffs, I was like, okay, this is going to be a boat race. And now that Ben Roethlisberger's gone, yeah, they're fading back to the pack. In baseball, there's two, and we get to make fun of them all the time. It's fun to be an Astros fan because you can be arrogant and cocky and just talk trash about everybody else, even if they are successful. The New York Yankees. The Yankees blow it every single year, and I cannot wait for that letter to be unsealed so that they can stick it up their you-know-whats and stop talking about how they got robbed.
Oh, we would have won the 2017 World Series.
You would have been swept in four games. You were no match for the Dodgers. You were not that good of a team that year. It was a miraculous run that you made it to the ALCS. You were a wild card team. You weren't that good. You lost. It's over. Whatever the Astros allegedly did, and they did do things, I know. But you think that was really the difference? There's a track record since 2017 that suggests otherwise. They keep on blowing it. And they've been blowing it for a while. I mean, shoot, the Yankees are no longer the Yankees. The Red Sox are the actual contenders that they used to never be. And the Yankees are kind of second fiddle in the American League East as far as actual championships of late. Also in baseball, and we get to laugh at them too, the Oakland A's. Aren't they so cute? The Oakland Augusters. Oh boy, the A's, they have a 20-game winning streak. What are they going to do in the playoffs? Every single year, those pores, there's like sewage-filled stadium, and they're annoying fans who like are a bunch of hipsters. Hey, we got a band, guys. We got a kazoo. We got a drum. Come watch our games where seagulls are taking a crap all over the field. It's fantastic. And then they blow it every single year. And now they press the reset button. We won't see them for 4 years. And then they'll be exactly back right where they were before, being just close enough to contending, but not actually contending. Basketball. I hate to admit it, but my Celtics. I mean, they have two of the better players in basketball. They're playing really well right now, and I'm just waiting for the inevitable collapse. I think they've won like a 10 of 11 or something like that. That's why I was wearing a Celtics shirt yesterday. The Celtics are there, sadly. The Philadelphia 76ers are too. And now that James Harden's on them, oh boy. And on top of that, too, the Los Angeles Clippers, that is a team that has been contenders for a while, but I expect them to choke. But 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, text in, who do you think is a perennial contender, and yet they will always blow it? Every single year, you can count on it. You can bet against them. Someone texted in Tennessee. I'm guessing you're referring to the Vols, maybe the Titans. The Titans would make more sense because they have been a one seed, I think, three times in their franchise history, and they have blown it every single year. But because they had that improbable run where they made it to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, you can't talk too much trash against them. You know, like they're one of those teams where I look at them, Ryan Tannehill's their quarterback. I guess you can say that they're going to blow it in the end. This would sort of qualify with the San Francisco 49ers too, but the 49ers have made it to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. They made it to the NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo. They also blew it in the end. They lost in the Super Bowl to the Ravens. They lost in the NFC Championship game to the Seattle Seahawks in the Richard Sherman game. So the 49ers, I think, are also a good nominee. What else we got here? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The Saints. Ooh, that one hits close to home. Accurate, though.
Oh, the refs were out to get us.
I mean, you can say that, but you also lost to Kirk Cousins. You also lost to Case Keenum. You know, Drew Brees, legendary player, Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a legendary quarterback. I think he's a quarterback who played, had a lot of statistics. They were nifty. They were neat. But the last couple of years, the last half decade, were the Saints not one of the best teams in the NFL every single year, and they still weren't able to get it done, like the Zags essentially just did? That's a good one right there. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can also tweet me if you so choose. At Gallant says, who is a perennial contender that you expect to choke every single year? Up until last year, the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, the Braves, that might be a forgotten thing. You know, I would say pretty much any Atlanta sports team, right? Or hell, even the Georgia Bulldogs. But yeah, that was also until last year. It's been a good year for Georgia. The Packers has another texter. Yep, that was the first team that I thought of off the top of my head. So keep those coming, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The teams that are always around, hanging around, they're pretty good, but you know that they're going to blow it in the end. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa today. You know, with all the moves that we have seen involving wide receivers over the last couple of weeks, Devontae Adams to the Raiders, Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins, it's hard to not think about Bill O'Brien. An NFL talking head had quite the take on O'Brien's impact and why he might have been the reason that those two trades happened. You'll hear it next right here, plus your text and Phone call 713-780-3776. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Him on the line for two. We're going to play it out. Edwards, three-pointer is good! Kyler Edwards!
Kyler Edwards is the man of the hour right now. Khaled Sampson, yes. Jamal Shedd, yes. I know Ocho Texto on Twitch is saying, hey, Jamal Shedd, greatest basketball player of all time. That might be true, but the reason that the Cougs won last night is not just their defense. They shot the lights out, 9 for 20 from the field, shot 45%. My question for you is, am I allowed on the bandwagon? I feel like we all should be allowed on the bandwagon. Let's enjoy this together, huh? This is a likable team, unlike the James Harden era Houston Rockets, who, if we're talking about perennial contending teams that consistently choked, that's the Rockets. 713-780-3776 on that front. 713-780-ESPN. Someone is asking me if the shirt I'm wearing, which is very loud, it's very Greek, is a polyester. No, baby, this thing's rayon. Ooh, it is cool. It's silky smooth. It's fantastic. And yeah, I like Hawaiian shirts. You got a problem with that? It's Friday. Got to go into the weekend on a vibe, huh? Cougs just won. Going to play Villanova tomorrow. Very excited about that. So to continue that conversation, we had a couple on Twitch. Someone on Twitch, Fake Tony Stark, said the Astros, a perennial contender that has never won, well, only won the World Series once, and it was back in 2017. Perennial contender that doesn't get it done in the end. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't bring down the vibe on a Friday, man. Come on. No, it's not entirely inaccurate. A couple people have brought up the Braves, the Saints. Oh, two blown calls in the playoffs, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they were... Jerkoff was peeing his pants in the first half of that NFC Championship game. You have no excuse for losing that game. Drew Brees threw an interception in overtime. I get it. That call sucked. It was awful. But you could have killed the Rams in that game. They scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. Todd Gurley wasn't the same player. The Rams should not have made it to that Super Bowl. The Saints should have. The Saints blew that game. 100%. What else do we have? The Bills. Yeah, the Bills. But they're not... Well, I have been holding this against one of my Bills fans' friends because he's been very loud after not being in existence for, like, my entire time in college, because I'm a Patriots fan. My Bills fan friend is all of a sudden the most annoying, loud trash talker. So you can bet that when the Bills lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs, no one was more excited than me. Because I've never had a problem with Bills fans, but the Bills, yeah, 4 straight Super Bowls. They got absolutely boat raced in pretty much all of them, except for the first one where they missed the field goal at the very end with Scott Norwood. Poor Scott Norwood. That was a tough field goal. Yeah, the Bills. I mean, look, they lost, but it's hard to really like point at the Bills right now, especially going into next year, and say like, oh yeah, perennial contenders that are losers. Now, if they blow it this coming season and Kansas City beats them again or something like that, yes, then we can put Buffalo in there. A couple more texts. Perennial contenders that you always expect to blow it in the end. 713-780-3776. The Vikings. Yeah. Remember when the Vikings with Case Keenum under center got absolutely killed by Nick Foles in that NFC Championship game right after the Minneapolis Miracle? The touchdown throw to Stephon Diggs against the, by the way, Saints. Remember that? That was bad. And the Vikings, too. I mean, they've been to, I think they went to 3 Super Bowls in a row, and I think they lost all 3. That was in the 70s. I think one of them was actually over at Rice Stadium back in the day. John says the Yankees, yep. One texter says the Aggies. Do we put them there yet? I feel like they haven't been in enough massive games to really say, like, hey, I expect them to win. Like, they're still in that underdog category, but I think this might be the last year where that's acceptable. We've had a couple of years with Jimbo Fisher. We've got a couple of great recruiting classes here. So I think now we might start making fun of the Aggies in a very mean way, say they blow games in the near future.
I don't know if they've been in SEC title contention since they've joined the SEC.
Yeah, not really, Noah Fouts. They've had wins over Alabama. Like, that's basically been their high water mark, and they've had a lot of losses to LSU. Like, that's essentially been it. I don't know that they're quite there. Someone else texted in, the Cowboys always choking. Yeah, but, I mean, when was the last time you actually expected the Cowboys to win something? Has anyone taken the Cowboys seriously? Like, they have been gone for so long, I think that by default, you're like, well, the Cowboys are going to blow it. Duh. I mean, shoot. I mean, remember when Tony Romo's like greatest playoff moment ever was fumbling a snap. But some people think he's a Hall of Famer. Okay. 713-780-3776. I did tease going into this segment. Bill O'Brien might have been ahead of the curve. This is a tweet from Bill Barnwell. Bill O'Brien rage quitting on DeAndre Hopkins changed the entire landscape of the NFL. Because, yeah, he didn't want to negotiate a contract with DeAndre Hopkins. And by the way, the contract that the Cardinals gave him, sure, I guess it's got some high cap figures attached to it. But it was a pretty flexible deal for Arizona. Like, they are not submarine buy. I think it was like a two-year, like, $56, $57 million extension or something like that. So Bill O'Brien might have been ahead of the curve in terms of player empowerment, though, because in trading DeAndre Hopkins, teams that think that they will not be able to re-sign a player of theirs, that they will have to let them walk, they are now starting to preemptively trade him. And I would say at wide receiver, which is an interesting position because it's very highly paid considering the actual sheer volume that most receivers get, because they're not getting the ball every single snap or anything like that. They're not like running backs, but they're probably more valuable than running backs. A guy like Davante Adams, a guy like Tyreek Hill, do you really want to pay them $20 million a year? Drew Rosenhaus said about the Tyreek Hill deal yesterday that the Adams deal, the Davante Adams deal, really flipped everything upside down. Kansas City realized he wasn't going to sign for less than Davante Adams. And that was a ridiculous contract. So they gave him in Miami more guaranteed money. So now I guess teams are just preemptively trading players. And the Chiefs did get a huge haul for it. They're going to have, I think, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 2 third-round picks, and 2 fourth-round picks this coming year. But again, you're talking about Tyreek Hill, fastest player in the NFL. Cheat code. All of a sudden, he's not there. How do you feel about that? I don't feel particularly good. I do like this, though. No, I'm sorry to throw you under the bus here because I am bad at getting audio ready for the middle of a segment. But did anyone see Tyreek Hill and his comments? Look, Tyreek Hill, not exactly the most easiest person to like off the field. But I got to say, I got a kick out of his press conference because whenever somebody takes a dump on the New York Jets, I love it. He was asked because there were rumors that the Dolphins and the Jets were really in on a trade for Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill says, the Jets, not so fast.
How close was I? Who? The Jets? Nah, man. Look, man, it's a lot. I don't even want to get into all that. I knew I was going to pick Miami no matter what, man. Because, like I say, I'm basically from here, dog. I'm here all the time, man. Like, this is home for me, for us.
Take that, Jake Asman. Take that. You are never even a thought because you're the Jets. You are second. Are you a second-class citizen? I don't even think you are. Third-class citizen? Fourth-class citizen? Oh, boy. I'm starting to think about, like, some of the weird caste systems of the Spanish Empire back in the day. Yeah, that's where a Jets fan is. Kind of low. Except for this isn't based off of racism. This is just based off of where you were born, you know, and the unfortunate fan base that your, I'm guessing, parents chose to be associated with. Poor Jets fans. Poor Mets fans. They're so cute. Look, Joe Douglas, he's going to turn it around this time around. Pfft, nope. Okay, so obviously we're continuing this conversation of teams that you expected to blow it, even though they're good, every single year. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Tweet me at Galan says twitch.tv/ESPN975. I do want to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys for a moment. So the Cowboys, who are not moving on from Mike McCarthy, even though just about everybody feels like they're going to move on from Mike McCarthy at the end of the year, and they are going to hire Sean Payton, they have brought in somebody on their coaching staff. His name is Brian Schottenheimer. He was the Jaguars passing game coordinator last year. That was not a job that he did well. He's going to help Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore, centering on league trends and game planning. Albert Breer termed this as a really cool idea. But I got to say, Roger Sherman put out a tweet about all of Brian Schottenheimer's qualifications and all the jobs he's done. Quarterback coach for Washington in 2001, 28th ranked offense. San Diego Chargers quarterback coach 2002 to 2005, the only years of Drew Brees' career where he didn't look like a Hall of Famer. 2006 to 2011, wasted some of the NFL's best defenses with Mark Sanchez. 2012 to 2014, 25th, 21st, 21st in offense. Georgia, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, 2015, 85th in offense, got Mark Richt fired. Colts coach, whoa, voice crack there. 2016, 2017, 30th in offense in 2017. He was the quarterback coach there. Seahawks didn't let Russ cook, and you saw some second half collapses the last couple of years. Jacksonville Jaguars, passing game coordinator and quarterback coach, 32nd in offense with Trevor Lawrence and widespread dysfunction. Good on you, Brian Schottenheimer. You keep getting jobs, and congratulations on the dad that you have. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa Richardson. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Am I allowed on the Cougars bandwagon? We will continue to celebrate the Cougars' victory and their game in the Elite Eight against the Villanova Wildcats coming up this weekend, and also teams that you think are good, but you know are going to blow it in the end. All of that on the table. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.